You're listening to Prime Cut on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, the quarterback, Sean Salisbury.
Prime Cut, SB Nation Radio, joined now. Myself, Brian Barrett, Adam Sager, joined by my buddy, a man with an opinion. And I know there's some heartbroken people in San Diego today, but he hosts Morning Drive on the Mighty 1090. He does a great job. Dan Cilio joins us here on SB Nation Radio. Danny, good to have you on, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man, bro. Appreciate it very much.
No problem. I guess first and foremost, before we get to some of the details, you got your finger on the pulse of what's going on in San Diego. A lot of brokenhearted fans.
Man, this whole thing really was just an absolute train wreck from the very beginning. I mean, you had a lot of political jockeying going on both sides of the aisle. Dean Spanos is now being dubbed again. As you look at it here, he's an Art Modell now. I mean, there's no way not to look at him any other way. All the civic things that Art did, as you know, Sean, did some great things in Cleveland, but it was wiped away with one move of the Mayflower bands. And at the end of the day, I mean, this whole thing comes down to this, man, that they just could not get it done. And the mayor on the other side, he really showed absolutely no leadership whatsoever. He was an obstructionist. He was a guy who got in the way. He was a person who just absolutely did not want to see this thing done. And, Sean, really, what's the crime of this whole thing is that, you know, it was a political jockeying by both sides that dug in, and there was really true no politicianing to make this thing happen. And the real gas pedal that was stepped on this was at the finance meeting on Wednesday by Mark Davis. Mark Davis basically told Dean Spanos, either crap or get off the pot, or I'm moving to Los Angeles. They had a great ratings this year. They outdrew the Rams. Everyone knows that the team that should be moving to L.A. was the Raiders. Well, again, in the whole process of this thing, Sean, look at the devastation and the collateral damage. They will ruin three NFL cities, St. Louis, Oakland potentially, and also San Diego, heritage places that pro football has had, even with the St. Louis Cardinals, for a city that has lost three NFL teams at one time in Los Angeles and an untested market in Vegas. What a gamble.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So, Dan, who do most people, most fans at least, blame? Is it more so on the mayor or is it more so on the ownership?
You know, again, it comes down to the quarterback that's here in San Diego, man. I think it's the mayor. The mayor was an absolute obstructionist this whole time, and he absolutely got in the way. You know, there was a project that was going on here at one time, and it was the convention center expansion. They were trying to do that. That mayor had to kill that project. It was ruled illegal. What did he do? He kept that whole thing going. And remember what he's trying to do. On my show, I call him Governor Faulkner because that's his political aspirations. Here's the same guy that went against President-elect Trump, and he absolutely refused to support him, knowing that the state of California is blue, knowing that San Diego has now turned a little pink and not really red like it used to be. His objective is to springboard so that he could get to Sacramento. This is all jockeying to win political votes. And at the end of the day, the people that politically back him, the hoteliers and the convention people, were behind him on stopping the Chargers from a downtown stadium. That's the crux of this whole thing.
Yeah, the voice of Dan Cilio, who does a great job. He hosts Morning Drive at the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. Dan, if you and I were sitting down with Dean Spanos in a private room that nobody knew what we were talking about, and we said, Dean, would you rather stay or go, and nobody was going to find out, what would he have said to us?
He wanted to stay because here's a guy that has absolutely shown you that he is the most indecisive owner in the history of pro football. Look at this, guys. All you need to know about Dean Spanos, he fires a 14-2 Marty Schottenheimer, and he sits around trying to sell us a coach that had 9 wins in 2 years, and it was on the drop training wheels with Mike McCoy. He fired Don Coryell. He fired Bobby Ross. He didn't want to have a guy like A.J. Smith in the front office telling him. Now he's got nepotism over the entire organization. So a guy that absolutely has done nothing but have 6 wins since he's owned a team in 1984, you tell me if that's winning in championship football. Phillip Rivers, I mean, God must really not like him to put him in San Diego because, dude, that guy has had nothing to work with.
Yeah, and he still keeps pumping out kids and keeps pumping out victories and yards. That guy, he deserves better. Phillip Rivers does, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dan, in terms of, like, outward protests, I remember last year with the Rams situation, you saw protests all over the city in St. Louis. Have you been getting any of that in San Diego?
Yes. You see a little bit of that over at Charger Park now. And people really just, I think, quite frankly, it really hasn't set in. You know, I was telling people this morning, name me a divorce you remember that is good. Sure, you can't. There's no such a thing. So people now are going through, I think, the shock and awe, if I could use that phrase. And to now, tomorrow, in my opinion, that's when you're truly going to get the outrage and really starting to get the finger pointing. Hey, you're talking about 55-plus years of football, AFL tradition football here. You're talking about Southern California football. And again, this came down to the National Football League owners thinking that Los Angeles is such a big part. Sean knows this as well as anybody. They lost the Chargers the first time in 1960. They lost the Rams and the Raiders. The Rams are a train wreck the way Stan Kroenke runs it. I'm supposed to believe that Stan Kroenke, just because he can run Walmart, and on the other hand, Dean Spanos, who has done absolutely nothing in San Diego, is going to all of a sudden turn into Warren Buffett in Los Angeles? Good luck.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been, they're going to be playing in front of 30,000 people for the next 2 years. Dan, let's go to the on-the-field stuff. Who's going to be the coach, man? Who do you want? Who do you think's going to get it?
You know, let's do some common sense and no disrespect to some of these candidates, that I guess if you have 1 year now in the National Football League as a wide receiver coach, you're all of a sudden qualified to be a head football coach. Boy, I tell you, man, I don't know about you, but there used to be some chain of progression here.
We were talking about that before you came on, Dan. Same way. A lot of these names are guys that their resume is shorter than a 12-year-old's, and they're still getting head coaching jobs.
I've never seen it in my life where you can be average now, and no wonder the college game is paying just as much, if not more, than the pro game. You don't have to be a very good coach in the NFL. You have to be more of a babysitter, because the league is now turned in to the league of general managers. It used to be when Sean and I were in the game, you had guys like Parcells and Ditka and Ryan and all those personalities on the sidelines. Where are those guys? They're all gone now because of reason. The NFL owners want to be the stars now. So what do? They have general managers now, and it's a general managers league. I mean, the reason that Pete Carroll and the reason that Bill Belichick win every Sunday, they have clarity in their front office. That's why they win. There's clarity. There's three guys in the room making a decision. With some of these other places, I asked Sean this question to Ed Bartolo. Eddie, how many guys did you have in your personnel department when you were winning Super Bowls with Montana? He goes, John McVay, me, and Bill Walsh. Today they got 26. No wonder they can't get anything right.
Yeah, 20 of them don't know what they're doing. That's the truth.
That's right. They're bookworms. And you got guys, and I see these guys, Carol, who are these guys? I mean, seriously, so you're telling me, Sean, if you're telling me if I became a quality control coach and I was a D-line coach for 2 years, I'm going to be the head coach of the Rams? Sign me up for $6 million, I'm in.
Dan, let's go do it. I'm in too, man. I'll go quarterback coach somebody for a year and go be the head coach at a big firm. I'm in, man. I'm in.
Right on, man. I mean, I can't believe what I'm witnessing here. And to me, how about this? To get to your question, okay, I'll do the common sense thing. How about Mike Smith? Traditionally, usually the guy who gets the second job is twice as good because he's gone through the bumps and bruises. I'll go to Belichick. You think Belichick didn't learn from that quarterback situation between Kozar and Testaverde when he had to make that quarterback move to take Bernie out, who was a Youngstown hero in Ohio, that when that played out up in New England, when he had to take Bledsoe out and put Brady in and go to Kraft, hey, you just gave him $18 million on a sign and $100 million, but we're going with the fifth rounder. Are you kidding me? That's why I want experience at that position. I don't want on-the-job training. First-year head coach, again, give me Mike Smith. If I have to take all of those dudes, I guess like the presidential election, I'll take the lesser of the evil.
There he is, and a guy who actually turned Tampa Bay's defense around the second half of the season. Dan,
yeah, he did. I like him. Yep. I like him, Sean, and you know what? I think he does good things.
I agree with you, and it seems like the players seem to respond to him. Dan, we got to do this again, man, and I hate the San Diego's leaving, but I love the fact that it gives you the fodder because I know how good your show is, and I know you got a lot to talk about on there. And when the head coach gets in there, we'll have you on probably next week talking about the new head coach, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, you bet, man. Thank you guys.
Always
so
appreciate
much
you, brother.
Me.
Thank you. That's Dan Cilio, Mighty 1090 Morning Drive host, and he always brings an opinion. Grateful to have it here. He's right. Politics get in the way of a good football game, and that's what happened in San Diego. Unbelievable. But they'll be playing in front of 30,000 next year. Brian Barrett, Adam Sager, Sean Salisbury, Joe George, it's SB Nation Radio.